Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Wednesday, August 11th, 2021. This is edition number 56 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. We are currently working our way through the Westminster Shorter Catechism. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church located in Evansville, Indiana. It's great to have you here this morning. Let's pray first, and then we're going to consider question number 48. Our God in heaven, as we humble ourselves before you, as we bow before you, we are painfully aware of the fact that we are unable to understand anything in your infallible and errant and inspired word without your help. We must have your Spirit, and we know that you have promised him to us. As we seek your face, as we humble ourselves, as we bow before your word, we pray that you would grant to us that promise, that you would open our eyes and our ears to the truths of your word, and that we would submit to it, we would hear it, and then do what we hear. Father, we ask that you would be gracious to us, and that you would be gracious to your people. Bless all those that labor to worship you as you have commanded, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we are in question number 48 this morning. That question reads, what are we specially taught by these words, before me, in the first commandment? The answer is these words, before me, in the first commandment, teach us that God, who seeth all things, taketh notice of and is much displeased with the sin of having any other God. Now, we've already considered what the first commandment is. Indeed, we have considered what is required in the first commandment, at least given to us by the Shorter Catechism. Again, I would encourage you to read the larger catechism as we work through this material. I may reference it from time to time, but it is a much fuller, of course, much fuller explanation, exposition of the Ten Commandments. But when we read in Exodus 20, verse 3 there, you shall have no other gods before me. That could literally mean in my sight, before my face. In either case, this is the issue that we're taking up together this morning. Now, this phrase, these two words, they teach us that God, first, that he sees all things and takes notice of those things. That is to say that if, in fact, we break this commandment by having another God, by having gods to ourselves that is not the one true God, he notices it. Now, we sometimes live like God never sees anything that we do. We are sometimes fundamentally and practically atheists in the way we live our lives. There's a Latin expression, coram Deo, that is I suspect gained popularity with Ligonier Ministries. It's before the face of God, and we are to live our lives, all of our lives, from moment to moment, from second to second, an hour and to hour, we are to live our lives before God. Now, specifically here, this issue is relegated to the issue of worship and having any other gods. And so when we look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 17 and 18, here we read, as Moses is expounding, really giving a sermon on the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy 30, verses 17 and 18, there we read, "But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess." And so here it is clear, the warning is that to have no other gods, God notices it, he sees it, he's aware of it, and he responds to it. He acts out of his perfect justice against those that would set up foreign gods to worship. Now, we know, of course, that this second generation of the people of Israel, as Israel moved into the promised land, they did take to themselves the gods of that land. And we know what happened. They were exiled in 586 B.C., the southern kingdom. In 722 B.C., the northern kingdom were exiled to foreign pagan countries because of their wicked idolatry and sin against God. But it's not merely just worshiping those things. It is also in the issue of making images, holding to images that that God would not have us hold to. And so when we read in Deuteronomy 4, there we read, "Therefore watch yourselves very carefully, since you saw no form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Beware lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water under the earth. And beware lest you raise your eyes to heaven. And when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, you be drawn away and bow down to them and serve them, things that the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven." So what we note there in verse 16 of Deuteronomy 4 is that we are to not act corruptly by even making a carved image. Now, I doubt seriously that many people today are busy about making a carved image in their workshop and calling it God. However, I have noticed on more than one occasion as a pastor, as I visit people in their homes, I see images of Jesus proudly hanging on the walls or in other places in the home. It is a sin. You are not to have those images. No image, no representation of any member of the Godhead is allowed or tolerated by God. And he notices this. And the warnings that come to those who insist on doing these things are very, very severe. We must be very careful. We must be mindful of the fact that God is jealous and zealous for his own glory. And he will not share that image with anyone or any person, any creature. And so he does take notice of this very issue. Psalm 44, again, if we have any questions as to whether God sees or takes notice of these things and judges justly these matters, Psalm 44, verses 20 and 21, we read, "If we had forgotten the name of our God and spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God discover this? For he knows the secrets of the heart." And we may fool other people. We may be very good at it, and we are indeed very good at faking people out, presenting images of ourselves that aren't even true. God knows, and he sees. And he sees this sin. It cannot be hidden. It cannot be buried. Even if your pastor never comes to visit you, God knows. And that should be enough to strike a certain sense of terror into our hearts, because the reality of a holy God knowing these things and how he sees and understands that and how he seeks to deal with that is very, very clear within the confines of Scripture. Not only in Psalm, but also in Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12. Here we read again, "Then he said to me," that's God himself speaking, "Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, each in his room of pictures? For they say, the Lord does not see us, the Lord has forsaken the land." God knows, he sees. He is very zealous for his own worship. And because of this reality, when he sees and takes notice of these things, he is displeased with it. It displeases him even so much more when it's those people who have named the name of Christ, those redeemed people. Remember, the law is given to all creatures, but it's specifically and especially given to the redeemed of God. And so here in this first commandment, we are warned of many things. What is required to know and acknowledge the one true God as God, give worship to him only. We are reminded of what is forbidden in it, that we must worship and glorify the true God as God and our God, and give that worship and glory to him only. And we're reminded that God takes notice of those who so wantonly dispense with this command and do not do what we're told to do. God does this for our good because we are idol factories and we will make idols out of everything. not heard people say, well, I have a picture of Jesus on my house, but I don't worship it. That's irrelevant. Why do you have it in the first place? What is it doing? Is it pulling your affections in one way, shape, or form? We need to be very careful that we don't place in front of ourselves things that will turn us away, even if it's a little bit, because that little bit usually ends up as a lot. But even if it's a little bit away from the one true God as he has revealed himself in his word. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. That information is before you on the screen. And so until Thursday, when we consider a question number 49 and 50, may the Lord bless you today. May you walk with him. God bless.